Hey guys, it doesn't take much to support your favorite Current Geek show. All you gotta do is go to patreon.com/currentgeek. That's patreon.com/currentgeek.
I have
Current Geek!
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Current Geek. This is Current Geek, the weekly proceedings of the meetings of the Frog Pants All-Stars. Just kidding, me and Tom. I was going to film you hitting it. Do it again. Do it one more time for the people at home. Look at this. What? You guys see that? Oh, that feels so good to do. Anyway, we're here to talk about items of interest to the geeks in the world. Of the world. That's you. That's me. That's Tom. I'm Scott. That's Tom. Hi, Tom. Good morning. Hi.
Hi, Scott. I'm Tom.
Hi. It's not morning. It's evening. It's evening, everybody. It's evening.
Daylight saving time. We were at cons. We were at different cons. Now we're not. Now we're confused. How are you? Hi. Yeah. Are we okay? My dog's barking. I hope that doesn't bother you.
Not a bit. I like it just fine. I like dogs. I missed my dogs while I was at BlizzCon. I was there for 5-6 days, whatever. And I like a dog. I like to have a dog around. I didn't have any dogs at BlizzCon. They don't let them in there.
Yeah, not enough dogs at BlizzCon. That's one of the big controversies that we'll be talking about today.
Yeah, or maybe the one big dog at BlizzCon that everyone's talking about now. See what I did? Well, anyway, hey, enough about Diablo Immortal. We're not going to talk about that. No, instead, we're going to talk about the greatest and latest in nerd headlines. And it begins with this.
Herbert Hoover, Secretary of Commerce in 1922, finds infant radio facilitates news gathering, as do many others in high public office.
Tom, what happened?
Well, the Kepler. Yeah. The Kepler telescope may have broken, but the Hubble keeps on kicking. One of Hubble's gyroscopes stopped working in October, and the backup gyroscope was rotating too fast for it to lock on targets. So NASA engineers fixed it by turning the gyro off for 1 second, then restarting it before it spun all the way down in order to try to clear possible blockages. They also executed spacecraft maneuvers with the Hubble to attempt to dislodge any blockages. They repeated both processes several times until the issue appeared to have cleared. The Hubble is now back in working order. So, yes, they turned it off and on again and shook it and got it working.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing that even a thing in space, you got to do the same stuff we do at home. What I'm interested in, and they don't get into too much detail here, I want to know what the timing is on this. So it's easy to say, oh, we turned it on and off again or restarted it. How long does it take for them to tell it to do that, to get the signal there, to have it do its thing? And then when do they know? Because we're talking about a thing that's pretty far away.
Well, this is not like the Voyager spacecraft or Pluto. No. This is just in orbit. So it's actually, I mean, it's not instantaneous, but it's pretty close.
Right. Well, there you go, folks. If you needed a lesson in macro, turn it on, turn it off again, or turn it on and off again, world fixing, this is it. And I've had to do this week.
And they also, like, they turned it off for 1 second and then turned it back on because they were thinking there might be something lodged in there that was causing it to be off kilter and spin a little too fast. And essentially, that's what it was. They just shook it until the dirt fell out, and it worked fine after that.
So it was probably like space debris or something.
Probably space dust. Yeah. It's a technical term. Space poop.
Space poop.
Probably. Yeah.
I hope it isn't alien poop. Oh, do you see that one about the big cigar in space? That thing. That's out there. Those are aliens. They're talking to us. So watch out for that. No, you don't think so?
Do I need to do my regular song and dance?
All right, here's what I'm going to say. It looks like a shard of an asteroid or something, okay?
We first saw it, yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't look like anything like what they say. They're like, oh, it's cigar-shaped. I'm like, no, it isn't. It's like shard-shaped. It looks like a shard. Yeah.
Shard.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not a probe, probably. But hey, people are jumping up and down, getting all excited about the possibility.
So when it first showed up, everybody's like, it's aliens. And NASA said, probably not aliens. Here's what we think it really is. And then these scientists at Harvard wrote an article saying, if it was aliens, these are the things about it that jive with that. So, you know, there might be a small chance it was a probe. And of course, everyone's just flying off the handle and saying, see, they said it was aliens. It's totally aliens. which is not what they were saying at all. What they're doing is science, which is to say, hey, we don't think it's aliens, but could be aliens. Could. You know, it's like not impossible for it to be aliens. Here are the things about it that jive with it being aliens. That doesn't mean it's aliens. That's just keeping all your options open and doing science and describing things and keeping an open mind. Something that I have noticed is much more infrequent than even a couple of years ago, where people are like, nope, I've already decided this is the truth. You can't tell me anything. I am just going to believe what I'm going to believe, and I'm not going to keep an open mind. Open mind to me means I'll just decide what I think and stick to it.
Yeah. I'm going to call that a laxed value, and I think that we should revalue
the open mind.
Yeah, laxed value.
That also sounds like a like an interstellar villain.
It does, and he sent a giant cigar-shaped shard into space to see if he could find us.
It came from laxed value. Oh. He's trying to attack us. He also runs a chain of discount stores in intergalactic.
Also, ask your doctor if laxed value is right for you.
Stop by laxed value.
Here's the question for you. This is totally unrelated, but it made me think of it, and you're kind of a science fiction guy, and you write science fiction books, and I think this is a good question for you. If aliens come to our planet, let's say they figure out it's us. Let's say it's even the shard that sent back data and said, hey, yo, there's a planet out here, a big blue planet, go check it out. And they show up. Do they give a crap about any of our orbiting bodies, be they satellites or whatever, or do they just come rumbling in and knock stuff to the left and right and kill everybody's HBO from their satellite service? Like, what do you think? Are they going to be nice?
Wait,
and like,
are you asking if they'll file a flight plan and follow safety procedures? Or
maybe they just get above us and not just come barging in and knock everything out of the way. Like, how polite do you think our alien invaders will be if they came?
I don't think satellites are going to be the measure of whether they're polite or not. First of all, I think we suffer from the Star Wars Empire Strikes Back asteroid problem when it comes to satellites. Asteroid fields, we have one right here in our own solar system. The asteroids are really far apart. It's not like Empire where they're all like flying around and you got to weave through them. Dense asteroid fields in reality all still very far apart. Satellites in space, really far apart,
right?
It is more possible to have a collision than it used to be. It used to be almost impossible. Now it's possible is all that means. So if aliens came flying into our orbit, they probably wouldn't even come close to our satellites anyway.
So it's not going to be like, okay, the movie I think of is WALL-E, when they take off from the planet, and as it pulls out of the atmosphere, all of these orbiting things just go out of the way, and they go.
Now, if you remember, the surface of the planet in WALL-E also differed from our planet in many ways.
Yeah. I think a whole lot of ways. There was a lot of cubed metal trash everywhere, is my memory of
it. If you start to see the world around you looking like it's full of cubed metal trash, then you might have to worry about the orbital issue.
All right, fair enough. I don't know why that's always been interesting to me, but I just want to know what kind of, decorum will they have when they come? Will they be...
No, I mean, that is the ultimate question, though, satellites or not, right? Yeah. Like, are they going to come in peace? Mm-hmm. Are they going to just come and be rude? Like, I don't think that gets considered off enough. Like, maybe they won't be warlike. Maybe they'll just be jerks.
Yeah, maybe they're coming here to make peace, but they don't have a problem just knocking the Mona Lisa over as it lands on the Louvre.
Just condescending and like, art? That's not art.
Right. Exactly. That's what I'm worried about. So we'll see.
No, I think that's a valuable perspective that we don't consider often enough.
Right. Well, now we've considered it.
If they say we come in peace, it's like, okay, but are you going to be cool or?
Yeah. Are you going to wreck my furniture? Are you going to, watch for the antennas and not hit the National Monument?
We have a beautiful chandelier. I don't want it broken.
Yeah. Please. The Eiffel Tower is nice where it is. Don't come crashing through that.
Yes. Don't. Yeah. The Leaning Tower of Pisa could go at any time. Be careful.
Yeah. If you're going to hit it, though, maybe lean it the other way and then
knock
we
it back straight. That's what they do. They'd be total trolls. Like, haha, straightened up your tower. Not a tourist attraction anymore, is it?
No. You can no longer... go ahead.
BBC America has given the green light to a series called The Watch, based on Terry Pratchett's Discworld series. It's described as a punk rock thriller based on the City Watch subset of Discworld novels. Punk rock thriller really reminds me of Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency, which came to BBC and BBC America a couple of years ago, 2016.
Yeah.
That felt like a punk rock thriller in a lot of ways, so... I'm figuring The Watch Will be something like that.
And it, you have you read all the Discworld stuff? I've never partaken.
No, I am very deficient on my Terry Pratchett, actually.
Yeah, I feel bad. About that.
I've read one of the witch novels and Good Omens. That's it.
Yeah, I really feel like I've screwed up there, and I need to.
I know. I feel like that's a world that I'm going to really love, and I can't wait to dive into it.
Yeah, but all the
Pratchett that I have read, I've absolutely adored.
But more, you know, television or film based on his work is always a good thing, and I think
and we've got Good Omens coming, I think, from Prime Video pretty soon. That's a Neil Gaiman, that was Neil Gaiman and Terry Pratchett teaming up, and Gaiman's involved in the TV production of that. Mm-hmm. David Tennant's in it.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of Gaiman, his the season one of American Gods is on Amazon Prime now, so no more excuses, guys. I think you can go watch that damn thing over there. I think it is.
Go start complaining about it right now.
Right. Go. It is one of my favorite books I've ever read, and I'm not 100% sure I think the show is holds a candle to the books, but I still enjoyed it, so maybe you will too.
It is both perfect in some stretches. Yeah. It's like, yes, that is exactly what I saw when I read the book in my mind. That's amazing.
Yeah.
This is a fantastic capturing of this world, and then it goes completely off for me.
Yeah.
In other points. Bums so it's kind of all over the place.
Yeah. Bums me out. I think it could have been maybe treated differently, but what are you going to do?
Well, let me cheer you back up.
Oh, great. Scott. Great. I'm ready.
An article published in the journal Science describes a universal flu vaccine.
Whoa.
So you don't have to worry about like, oh, did I get the right one? Did I take it too early before they figured it out? No, universal flu vaccine derived from the blood of llamas.
Wait a minute. Not the Dalai Lama, like the actual animal llamas with long necks.
I believe they mean the animal.
Okay,
yes.
Great. Great.
Although the Dalai Lama might have some antibodies. We should look into that. Flu vaccines must be refreshed every year because they target antibodies on the flu virus, which is always mutating. Those antibodies change from year to year and between different strains of flu, which is why the flu virus works, but it doesn't work the same every year, and it doesn't hit every kind of flu. This new method still uses antibodies, but they take the antibodies from the llamas. A vaccine works by putting some killed virus into your blood, and then your blood creates the antibodies. This is taking the antibodies from the llamas and essentially transplanting them into you. They found that those particular antibodies protect against numerous strains of flu virus in mice. Llama antibodies have the smallest binding sites and can therefore attach to a wide variety of disease agents, and they can be delivered nasally and take effect in 3 to 4 days rather than the current flu vaccines, which usually take 3 or 4 weeks.
Wow.
The study is preliminary, still needs to be replicated in human trials, but it's very promising.
Now, is it possible? So are they saying I can get one llama shot 1 year and I don't have to get one again ever? Or I got to get a llama shot every year?
I don't know that part of it. I imagine that the antibodies might eventually go out of your system and you might need to refresh it. I don't know how often you'll need to refresh it, because remember, your body isn't making these antibodies originally.
Yeah.
But it you know what? I didn't see that's a great question. I didn't actually see the period that this works, and they may not know for humans. That may be why they didn't say it, because they've only done this in mice.
Yeah, I read it and I couldn't find anything to that effect, but it's very curious to me if you have to, because that's the one thing people would really like is not, you know, if you get vaccinated for measles, you're just never going to get measles. The flu is a booger because it's always changing, mutating, and getting weird every year. And so it'd be nice if there was something that adapted to that. I don't think they're necessarily saying that's what this is, but that's very interesting. And I'm all about horking it up my nose rather than getting the shot. And I'm all about the 3 to 4 days. And if I get a really long neck and have to shear myself once a year, well, then we got a problem.
I mean, you could make a lot of money on wool.
You think? Is that stuff, can I buy items of clothing or bags or whatever made out of llama shavings?
Are alpacas llamas?
I don't know. I have no idea. I think they look a lot alike. I'll say that about them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, if people can sell their hair for wigs, you start turning into a llama. That's just more wig hair you can sell.
This is true. Also, I should say, I didn't know about the 3 or 4 weeks thing for traditional flu shots until I read this article and you put it in the notes, because Well, not because, but I just always assumed you get the shot and the next day you've got, you know,
bing, bang, boom.
Yeah, you're done. So in my mind, I'm like, hey, I'm getting the flu shot a week before BlizzCon. That's a smart move because that gives me a whole week before I go. And by the time I'm there, I'm immune to whatever flu is going to be on some handrail or some handshake. And I'm wrong. I'm still haven't taken effect as far as I know.
Oh, no, my friend.
Yeah. I'm on week two. That's all.
Well, it says weeks. It might week two might be enough. But yeah, it doesn't take effect right away.
Yeah. So this is I'm educated across the board here on all this stuff. But look, our future of llama infested antibodies. I am open to the idea. I have no problem with it. Animals have given us so much. The big question is, will vegans get the get this?
You're stealing that from Sidiot in the chat room.
Oh, did he say it? I missed it.
Oh, really? You didn't see him? Yeah, he said exactly the same thing.
Oh, yeah. No, he and I are starting to think on the same wavelength. Because I'm not saying I would love to know what a vegan's perspective is on that.
It's a really interesting thing because yes, dead viruses probably okay, right? There's question about whether viruses are really live or not. But serums often are used as medicine, and I know some vegans are uncomfortable with that. So I'd be curious about this because it is exploiting the animal. It's not necessarily harming the animal, certainly not harming it permanently, taking a little bit of blood like that. But so is milk, right? So milk, if you're not okay with milk, maybe you'd not be okay with this, but you don't want to get the flu. So yeah.
It's not like the llamas are walking up to you going, hey, I'd like to give you my antibodies. Here you go.
Right. They're not consenting to this for sure.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm anti-body, but pro-llama.
You know, me too, now that I think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's better than being anti-llama, pro-body.
I'm pro-llama, anti-body.
Antibody, pro. Yeah. What if you're pro-body, though? What does that mean?
I mean, you're probiotic or?
Well, maybe. Maybe you're just really into bodies. I don't know.
Maybe you're just into yogurt.
Yeah. I kind of am. Okay, it's all making sense now. I get it.
I just, by the way, I realized something today. And I was like, man, if Scott ever came to my house, he'd freak out. I like this Korean drink, and I can't even remember the name of it now. I just know what it looks like. I get it at my local grocery store. It's one of those tiny cans of soda,
and I like
that because I don't want to drink a ton sometimes.
Sure.
It's Korean.
Okay.
It's yogurt soda.
Oh, it's soda?
It's yogurt soda.
So it's same.
It's different brand, but the same thing you gave me at Nerdtacular one year and you got all freaked out.
Yeah, I totally did. Know. Is it like a vanilla-y? Just like a bland flavor like that? Or is it got something else?
It's not vanilla, but yeah, it's got a little sweetness to it.
But you like it. You like this Korean brand yogurt soda.
Time. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's great. Is it supposed to be like infused with probiotic goodness and all that? Or
I don't know. I can't read Korean.
I have multiple siblings who are fluent in Korean. I should.
I'll send you a picture of the can. Tell me.
Yeah, I'll let you know what it is. Like if you hold up a. I wonder if Google Translate the app does the.
Oh yeah, thing. I didn't think about that.
Yeah,
you
should
right.
think about doing that.
Because all it says on the, it has the name of it in. It's not cowpiss. That's a Japanese one, but it's something like that.
Oh, I'll just pretend you didn't say cowpiss because that's what I heard. I heard cowpiss.
C-A-L-P-I-S.
Oh, got it. Okay. Calvin Hobbes piss. Got it.
Yeah, much better.
No, I still think the problem
there's another Japanese drink called Pocari Sweat.
Yeah. No thanks. That doesn't sound good no matter what that is. But I remember that day when you drank that, and I think the problem was the sample I'd been given had gone bad, was sour and like chunky and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And you'd gotten a good one. Ooh.
It's Milkis. M-I-L-K-I-S.
Milkis.
From Lottie.
That sounds like mucus.
Milkies.
Milkies? Maybe that's better.
Yeah.
That's too bad.
Refreshing milk and yogurt.
Chat room says Pocari Sweat is great. I'm going to have to take all your word for it.
It's Gatorade.
Oh.
And so it's one of those things where, you know, in Japan, they don't really, the English words don't hit as well, as powerfully as they do for us, right? Just like Japanese words, we just like, oh, that's a cool Japanese word.
Yeah.
We don't always hear, not all of us know what it means. So the sweat thing, they're like, oh, yeah, so that has to do with exercise, I think. Yeah, that makes sense. I'm going to drink that when I exercise. Whereas we're like, ew, you're drinking sweat? No.
Yeah, no kidding. I'm looking here. Lottie or whatever. Mm-mm. Lotte. They're big. Wow. Okay.
Oh, yeah. They're one of those huge companies like, I don't know, Asahi or, except they're Korean.
Yeah, it's like
department stores and fashion lines and snack foods and everything.
Yeah, I'll bet my brother drinks this stuff, actually, now that I'm looking at all this. He loves this crap. Well, well done, Tom. I'm glad you took another one for the team and drank a thing I probably don't want. Nice job.
You were talking about BlizzCon earlier. Let's mention some BlizzCon news. The World Championship Series for StarCraft II happened there and saw Finnish player Serral, S-E-R-R-A-L, crowned as world champion. It is the first time the champion has not been a Milky's drinker. and by that, I mean not from Korea. Mm. Not all Koreans drink Milky's, I'm sure. Yeah. Serral was one of only two non-Korean players in the top eight and the only non-Korean in the top four. So it's not like Korea is low on talent suddenly. They still dominate in StarCraft. But sort of a historic moment, which I think indicates the broadening of the sport.
Mm-hmm. I think so, too. I mean, StarCraft II is a worldwide phenomenon, but in Korea, it is a national sport. It is a obsession. And they really take it seriously. They have campuses and teams who live there and play and go through all sorts of physical training just to stay in shape and keep their minds sharp and all of this. I mean, it's a big deal over there. Think of it as, you know, whatever your country's really into, if it's soccer or international football, or here in the States, if it's, you know, baseball or basketball or whatever, they take it as seriously as any of those, maybe more so. And as a result, they have dominated the StarCraft and StarCraft II scene in terms of competition and have forever. Like, they just are always there, and it's great to watch, and more power to them because they're just willing to go however much extra you need to go to be winners. So the fact that somebody swoops in from Finland and takes the top spot is a very unusual happening. Sadly, when they tried to film the winner, they couldn't see him because Finnish people are very translucent, and you could only see his heartbeat, and that was it.
So your idea of Finnish people has changed over the years from just you can see their heartbeat to you actually can't see anything else but their heartbeat.
Right, it's just a little, like a baby fish. You just see a little heart in the, and you know, the interview, how do you feel about your big win? And it's just a little heartbeat in the thing. But I saw him there, and I saw some of the celebration around. It was super cool, and people are very excited, and it's awesome. I think that's great. It's also nice to see that getting shaken up a little bit, because there can be a tendency for casual observers to go, oh, great, Korean team won, huh? Wow, weird. You know, no one else ever seems to win these things, so this does make it feel a little like an underdog upset kind of thing happen, and that's never bad in esports. I like it.
No, it's like the Rugby World Cup, sort of, you know, when Argentina started to get really good, or South Africa started to get really good, and people are like, oh, it can be more than just Europe and Australia and New Zealand, right?
Right.
It's broadening out. Baseball, when we started to get Japanese players jump into the major leagues here in the U.S., kind of the same feeling of like, oh, okay, there's, you know, other areas of the world are starting to really develop, you know, great players. So it's a moment of growth for any sport out of its region, and it's nice to see it growing out of the Korean region, at least a little bit. Who knows, maybe it'll go right back to being Korean dominated in the championships from here on out, but an interesting moment.
Yeah, and there was a lot of hype around StarCraft too, weirdly, at this event, and I'm not sure why. I think people are so... There's so many other things that have dominated gaming news, like Battle Royale, and even to some degree Overwatch, and you know, Hearthstone certainly have been up in everyone's face for so long that we had kind of pushed StarCraft aside. Now, RTSs, they're no longer a big deal. Who cares? Put it off to the side. And I just noticed kind of an uptick in interest in that scene, in its competitiveness, like all that stuff. I think it was a really good year for StarCraft, despite the fact that StarCraft got nothing new announced. The actual following of the game and its you know, its competitive play was front and center. It's great.
Well, in some ways, that may have been a better move.
Might have been. I don't know. Chat room, by the way, that thing I just showed you, the picture, is the yogurt soda Tom drank at Nerdtacular 2014. TVZ Gone posted it shortly ago, a link there. That's what it looked like. And as you can see, up toward the top, it gets a little filmy and kind of chunky, cheesy. That's, I don't trust any of that, man. Just don't trust it.
Milky's is not like that at all. It's very smooth.
Okay. Smooth and convincing. I like it.
You might like it.
All right. I'll try it. I'll do it. That's fine.
HBO released a page called Everything You Need to Know About the Deadwood Movie So Far, confirming that the movie is coming in 2019. The show will take place around a 10-year reunion of the settlers of Deadwood celebrating the statehood of South Dakota. And it's going to star all the people you love from Deadwood. Ian McShane is coming back. Timothy Oliphant. Elephant. Timothy Oliphant is coming back as Seth Bullock. Molly Parker as Alma Ellsworth. Paula Malcolmson's back as Trixie. John Hawkes as Saul Starr. Anna Gunn as Mrs. Bullock. Dayton Cali as Charlie Utter. Brad Dourif as Doc Cochran. And Robin Weigert as Calamity Jane. William Sanderson even is going to be back as E.B. Farman. Kim Dickens as Joni Stubbs. Gerald McRaney as George Hurst is even going to be back. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah, I am very excited about this. This is perhaps the most excited I've been about a thing for a while. It's been long promised. We need some resolution. The way that final season ended was kind of abrupt. Obviously, this is going to be set years later. It would have to be. Everybody's gotten older.
10 years later, yeah.
Okay, yeah. And that's great. I honestly can't think of anything in TV announcements lately that's been more exciting for me than this, because I love Deadwood so much. I loved it so much.
I'm not going to call you out by name, because I'm going to criticize you a little, but someone's like, Powers Booth won't be back.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, he's dead. Okay.
He died.
We get.
Yeah, he won't be there. There's probably other guys who have. I'm sorry. Did you read the name? What's his name? Crap.
Dylan McDermott.
No. No. Dylan Dilettante or something's his name. Ah, crap. His character may have died. Never mind. It doesn't matter. Or the Ferris Bueller's lawyer guy. I don't know if he's back in or not. Or not Ferris Bueller's lawyer.
No, I didn't see either one of those listed, actually.
All right. Jeffrey.
Gerald McRaney is back as George Hurst. That's not who you mean, though.
No, but I like Gerald McRaney. I like everybody in that thing. I'm stoked. For real.
I'm so glad Doc Cochran's coming back.
Oh, he's so good.
Brad Dourif is not young. He's not a young man.
No, he's not. And he was Wormtongue in your Lord of the Rings movies.
Yeah.
And at the most perfect casting possible for Deadwood. He was so good in that. I'm beyond excited about this. So hurry up, HBO. I know it's next year. Now, when they say movie, I assume a movie on HBO, not in theaters, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Set to premiere in 2019 on HBO, HBO Now, HBO Go, and HBO On Demand. What is HBO On Demand different from HBO? I guess it's when you go in your cable box. That's HBO On Demand.
Well, there's Go, HBO Go, HBO Now, On Demand. And then regular HBO, and then the various HBO substations. It is all a little confusing, if I'm being honest. I kind of wish they don't. Here's the other. I am being very honest. They've never put all of that stuff in the app. I wish they would do that. I feel like I'd get more value out of it.
What do you mean?
Well, it feels like HBO Now or Go, whatever it is. I guess it's Now.
Yeah.
Which is what I subscribe to. Doesn't have all the stuff from all the HBO stations, because there's like what, 5 or 6 HBO stations? Do they?
What doesn't it have?
Well, now that you ask, now that you're getting specific, I can't tell you.
I mean, they don't have they don't have all of the HBO shows from like the 90s or 80s, because they didn't create them with the idea of on demand. So they didn't have the rights necessarily. Like Fraggle Rock's not in there.
Right.
Because they don't have the rights to it.
Yeah.
But they have pretty much everything from Sopranos forward.
Yeah,
and
you're
all the movies they get the rights for go into HBO Now.
Yeah, you're right. That's true. I think maybe I am thinking of old stuff that may never be there, like Fraggle Rock.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff from the 90s. It'd be kind of cool if it showed up.
I'll tell you what's funny, though. Once in a while, you'll open up that app, and it's like, here's they'll have a big Sesame Street thing, because they have that deal with Sesame Street.
Oh, right, yeah.
So here's Elmo and whatever, and then the very next slide, it'll be HBO Up All Night or whatever. It's like their little adult section thing, and it's like, okay, that's a little weird putting those two together.
Oscar learns the letter C. Sexy Night Times.
Bad crossover. Nobody asked for. I'll tell you what we did ask for, though. It is your participation in our subreddit. You guys always step up to the plate and provide fantastic articles for us to talk about on the show. Tom, who do we owe a thanks to this week?
Tell them what they win. They win a Bash 82, Strike at Ridge 1, Ripley, Sloop Guru, a Whatnot, and more. Those are all the people that submitted stories we used on today's show at currentgeek.reddit.com. And my friends, you could have your name mispronounced by me, just like these people did right here on this show, by submitting a story at currentgeek.reddit.com. Get in there, submit, and at very least vote. It's important to vote. You've been seeing people say it on Twitter all day, and what they're talking about is voting on our subreddit at currentgeek.reddit.com.
Yes, not their civic duty to get their representation without taxation, or the other way around.
Correct.
I did that today, by the way. Look, I got a little thing here.
I didn't.
Oh, because you probably mailed it in early.
A couple weeks ago.
Yeah, you do early stuff because you're efficient. I went in and physically did it and pulled levers and stuff.
Did you see my tweet? Like, I realized today I've only ever voted on Election Day once in my life.
Oh, wow. What, you've always done the early thing, if you can?
Well, when I was in college, which was the first time when I was 18, that I did absentee voting because I wanted to vote in my home county, but I was going to be up at school. And then when I was in Texas, I always did early voting where you could go to these regional polling places and you can pretty much go to any one.
Yeah.
And in California, I've mostly ever done vote by mail.
Interesting.
Where they just send you your ballot.
So you're like the guy now who doesn't want to go on launch day for a new iPhone or a Samsung Galaxy and wait in line someplace. You put the order in early. It comes to your house. You do the job. You're done.
Yep.
There are some people out there, and I don't think I'm one of them. I think I'm just lazy. But there are people out there, I think, that probably love the excitement of the
going. Oh, yeah, there are, for sure.
Yeah, because there's something very old school about it.
The ceremony of, you know, taking part.
Yeah. Ours is very quiet. Packed, but quiet. Like, church-like quiet. It was weird.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't expect that.
Eileen went over to ours. I didn't go with her. And it took her an hour because the electronic machines were down.
Uh-oh. Oops.
But everybody was real nice and, you know, got her vote in and everything, got her stickers. So.
Yeah, they're all volunteers, man. Be nice to those people, I guess. All right. Well, that's all well and good. I want to remind folks at home, if you like this show, and I think a few of you do. I know you do because some of you
that
contribute.
That one over there does.
I can guarantee that one does. But I also see on your faces that a few of you might as well. And for those of you on the fence thinking, I kind of want to support you guys, but I don't know. How can I do it? It's super, super easy. Patreon.com/currentgeek is where you go, and it's simple. If you want to throw us a buck, we'd be grateful. If you want to do more than that, there are levels there that get you cool stuff. In fact, a membership card comes out to people at certain levels, and that includes art from me and signatures from Tom and I, and you can collect them all. They come out once a month and they're fantastic. So if you are interested in said thing or anything to do with supporting the show, head on over to patreon.com/currentgeek. And do it today.
The future promises even more startling things to come.
All right, Tom, do you remember Forecast when it was a show? Do you remember that?
Oh, right. It was a show.
Yeah.
But now it's a segment.
Right. Ah, you're getting it. Okay. Let's keep this. Stay on target here because this is right in the zone. It was a show, and now we've kept it alive with a segment where we predict the future in technology, sociology.
Tone to gossip is like too soon.
way too soon. Years, multiple years too soon. Anyway, we like it a lot. And where we predict the future, we do it here and we tell you. And then you guys tell us what you think about our ideas. And I have one today. And I thought of it while I was in Anaheim. And the reason I thought of it while I was in Anaheim is because during my flight out of there, not in there because on my way in, I couldn't see because I was right next to the engine bulkhead thing and it blocked my view from the window. So I couldn't see out the plane. And boy, is that loud and noisy, by the way. It totally sucks. But on the way back, I had a view of the ground. And as we took off and we started to take off, you realize, oh, Orange County looks so different. Once you get it about 100 feet, it becomes kind of a toy land.
Yeah.
Just like you could reach around and move the cars. And, you know, I always liked
like
that.
Like a train set.
Yeah. I always liked that. There's something about that one little zone that makes me smile. And then you're off to the clouds. Here's what I was thinking about, though. And there are probably already strides in this direction on some level. But I think there is a future not that far off where a chunk of either revitalized area or land or brand new, fresh, untouched land is set to become a city or a neighborhood or some kind of something, some sort of development. Now, what you would normally do is the old manual way of excavating, rather, with, you know, trucks and stuff, bulldozers, whatever, and you zone it and you do all the things you do, and it takes a ton of people to do it. I think there's a future where all of it is essentially 3D printed by robots. And I don't mean there's a single extruder that's just out there pooping out metal and, you know, stuff like that. I mean, we basically just have a three or four semi-trucks. You pull them up to this big, vast, empty space. They are programmed to know exactly the parameters, exactly what the elevation should be, meaning what they have to take out of their dirt and whatever, where they have to level things off, what has to be built there, what needs to be done in the finishing stage, all of it. plumbing, electrical, everything. That's all programmed into these robots. They come barreling out of the back ends of these trucks, and they just do it. And they do it 24 hours, 7 days a week until the job is finished, because they don't need sleep, rest, or food. The only human maintenance would be, you know, someone overseeing the project and, you know, breakages or, you know, breakdowns, stuff like that. But we get so efficient with it, you probably wouldn't even need that. You'd have other robots to fix the robots that are having trouble. But they would build this thing piece by piece, bit by bit. And if you put a time-lapse photography on it, you would just see it go. And this would be a store and a house and a building and a courthouse and a whatever. All of it prefabbed. Well, not prefab, that's different. But, you know, built by these robots from the programmed parameters, done. No more need for delays. Uh-oh, we cut into a pipe. Uh-oh, we cut some, you know, we cut the fiber line. Like, it's all just going to happen, and they're going to know it, and there's nothing you have to do. They just do it, and it's done, by the way, in like a fifth of the time, because or less, like 1% of the time, because they can just go all night and all day and all night and never stop. That's my prediction. Tom, what do you think?
I think this is definitely possible, and it reminded me of the city of Milton Keynes in the UK, which back in the 1960s was created as a new city.
Okay.
They just decided to take an area that was mostly farmland and design a city, and they just made it. And now it's a real city. It's actually a pretty major city that was created out of nothing. They at the time did a lot of modernist designs and such, but I can totally see this happening now in China, where they often go and they do these planned cities. And the way I've learned about it is the ones that have turned into ghost towns, because they built everything and then they weren't able to move people into it. And so you have these weird, like, modern ghost towns in China. But I could absolutely see, whether it's China or maybe somewhere else in Southeast Asia, I don't know, maybe Vietnam, somewhere like that, where they print out a city and overnight just fill it up with people. I could totally see that.
Yeah. I think it could be interesting, and you would have, you know, fully rendered, and maybe even you've walked around in it in VR of some sort to decide which office building your company is going to purchase or what house you're going to buy and what development, because you've actually experienced it in a full 3D rendered environment. And so all of this is decided ahead of time. Any changes are decided ahead of time. And when they hit the go button, like a video game in a lot of ways, like a city builder or SimCity or whatever, it's just the infrastructure just goes and it just gets set up and it's done. And if there are any issues, they're kind of handled in real time. And if it happens at 3 o'clock in the morning, it's okay. You can adjust.
What about Burning Man?
Oh, my Lord. I mean, are you saying,
what if Burning Man is the first tryout of this, where they, you know, because Burning Man is basically creating a city that exists in the desert for 2 weeks.
Right.
What if they 3D print Burning Man? not the individual art installations that people bring in, obviously, but the infrastructure,
right,
for it to happen.
Tents and facilities and whatever it is they need.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They create streets. They create plumbing. They create electricity. If you haven't ever looked into this, like, it is a major infrastructure achievement that happens in Burning Man. They create essentially city services temporarily for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I'm oddly into this idea that you're talking about. And I kind of wish, I don't know if you ever played with SimCity or any of those things. I wish I was always better at those games.
Yeah. I was a SimCity nut.
Yeah, and I paint myself into some weird corners in those games. Like, I have a hard time. I have some pretty cool ideas, and they're scattered throughout, but then I always mess up and go, oh, shoot, this entire section of the city has no power. Or police, it's just going to crumble and catch on fire and have the worst crime wave ever. And sure enough, it does. But there's something about the machine efficiency that gives me hope in the way we develop this sort of stuff in the future.
Well, especially if you combine it with some machine learning so that it anticipates where particular services will be needed ahead of time.
Yeah.
It could actually continually evolve and add infrastructure and things that are needed as time goes on, where just as people start to feel like there ought to be a stoplight there, it just doop 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 goes and prints out a stoplight.
Yeah, and it would have some pre-built, like, we know what structural integrity should be. So if we're going to bridge two buildings because that makes sense they could do that in a way that they always knew they had the right structure. Like it wouldn't just, it just wouldn't take a bunch of people having to decide what to do. You'd take that out of the mix. This also works better in a time when there's maybe, you know, money doesn't matter as much because obviously money will always probably matter. But
I mean, money to a certain extent, but if it can extrude materials from basic materials like 3D printers can, mm-hmm. you could actually save a lot of money. Those industrial 3D printers do save money. And it wouldn't be so prefab, right?
Right.
Like when it's ready to print a house, it could email you and say, hey, what kind of house do you want?
Right.
You know,
right.
Yeah, here's a few options or you can customize it yourself. And then it would avoid that sort of prefab uniformity that can give some older suburbs, which it's funny as suburbs get older, they gain more character, but when they're new, they kind of look like they're out of the wrinkle in time or something.
Right. Right. Well, I don't know. This sort of stuff fascinates me. And I just,
that's a cool one.
I think there's going to be a day where we can manipulate things like that. And hopefully it won't cost too much money. If you have thoughts on our forecast prediction today, you can email us the morning stream. Nope, that's not it. Currentgeek@gmail.com. Currentgeek@gmail.com. All right, everybody. It's time for this. Whoops. Where is it?
It's that.
I forgot where it is. Oh, yeah. Right there. The best thing of all time this week. This is where we talk about a thing that we're all into this week, and we think it's the best thing of all time this week. And Tom, I would like to begin with you. What do you have this week?
I can't stop talking about this crazy show. It's a Chinese TV show drama that my wife's been on a Chinese drama kick. She's been watching these teen dramas, which are sort of, you know, amusingly, you know, see out of the corner of my eye, but then I get bored and I go do something else. This one has totally captured me. It's called The Eternal Love. And it's a real estate agent who's kind of a snotty millennial wakes up and is in the body of a medieval princess in a mystical kingdom. And she is a pawn in the manipulations of two brothers fighting to gain the inheritance of the kingdom from the king. And she isn't always conscious. Sometimes she goes away and the original princess's consciousness comes back. So there's some time travel. There's some fantasy. There's ninjas and fighting. I don't know what ninjas are doing in this mystical Chinese kingdom, but they're there. Maybe there's a Chinese word for them that I don't know. There's wizards and romance, and it's cheesy as all get out. But it's just so, it's like so cheesy, it's fun. It has the benefit of all the music being horribly translated.
Yeah.
The subtitles of the dialogue are fine. They all make sense. But when they try to translate the music, it's like, no, that can't be what they're saying. Like, I tweeted something the other day about a dead fish in a fishnet going down the hill. I'm like, why would that be with lyrics of anything? Like, anyway.
Subtitles, I assume? That's how you're getting the
yeah, yeah. Okay. It's all subtitled. It's in the app Viki, which is from a Japanese company called Rakuten that brings a bunch of Asian dramas with a free and ad-supported. But it's like Outlander on a budget from China.
All right. I mean, that just sold somebody. I don't know who, but somebody heard that and went, I'm in.
You've got to try it because there's an element of it that appeals to me on the cheesy kung fu movie level.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's got some pretty, you know, martial arts scenes and it's super, super silly and low budget. There's a part that I'm just fascinated by this because it's a modern Chinese drama where like the male characters have no blemishes. Like they are preternaturally smooth skin.
Yeah.
I love that when the princess is occupied by the soul of the modern girl, she's just complaining all the time.
Yeah.
Like, your food is awful. And why can't I get my phone? And you know, like it's just so anachronistic. It's fantastic. There's so many little weird things it's hard to explain, but I am just totally taken by the eternal love on the app Viki.
All right. And that so it's called Viki is the app?
Viki is the app, yeah.
V-I-K-I, everybody, if you're looking for that.
Mm-hmm.
Chat room says, filmed with an iPhone XS.
No, it's actually filmed with good studio cameras. Like, it's just the sets are all the same. Like, they never really go anywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they got the rights to be in the Forbidden City, and that was it.
Well, there you go. Well, for me this week, it's something that saved me on my two plane trips and got pretty hooked on it. So if you're into gaming at all, you probably heard of Stardew Valley. It was created by one guy a couple years ago, and was a huge hit on PC in the indie scene and became a mega monster hit in that world. It was on Steam and a few other places, and it sold like crazy. It's a game along the lines of something like Harvest Moon or Animal Crossing, kind of a manage a farm, you have relationships with people in town, you do quests, you're raising animals, and sometimes it rains, you gotta do crops in the right season or else they'll die, like blah, blah, blah. It's that kind of game where you're sort of building out all those things I just mentioned and of course a lot more. You're gathering resources and upgrading your tools and all this sort of thing. Well, it was a big hit there. Then ended up on consoles, big hit there. Switch did real well there as well. And now out on at least iOS. It's coming to Android soon is my understanding, but they started with iOS. I picked it up on the iPhone for $8 and it was totally worth $8. It is completely free of any microtransactions or any of the stuff you don't like about mobile games. It's just not there. This is just the real game. Same game even. In fact, there's a way to import your PC save to it, which is crazy. I didn't do that, but I understand it's not that hard. And I assume maybe a way to take the save back out to another platform. I actually haven't tried that either. But anyway, it is a really good version of that game. And I actually think the most appropriate place for it, because it is kind of a perfect pick up, play, put down kind of experience and a great time waster when you're on a plane or you're stuck in an airport or you're at the, you know, dental office or whatever it is. And I had a blast with it. It was so much fun. And I didn't take my Switch. And I thought, am I going to regret this? Because Diablo will be there. Maybe I'll be playing that there with friends or something on the Switch version. Or, you know, will that just be the preferred thing? And there were a lot of Switches there. But I ended up just saying, no, I don't want to scan all this stuff or take this in my bag. And who knows what we have to bring home. And there won't be room. And so I didn't do it. And I'm kind of glad I didn't. My phone was right there. And I had this. And it was, like, kind of perfect for it. And the controls are just point and click, like... You know, it's not like a virtual stick like people hate or any of that stuff. It's real good. I like it a lot. So I played a ton of Stardew Valley on the iPhone. Coming to Android soon is my understanding.
So that's what you did at BlizzCon.
Yeah. Not the entirety of BlizzCon, but all my travel, all my hanging out.
While you were doing the Q&A of Warcraft.
Yeah. While I was in front of 20,000 people and at a podium, what you couldn't see in camera was a phone on there and me playing a video game. It was great. I did have some downtime, and it was mostly, waiting for things to happen at certain stuff, and it was just a great distraction for that, and it's exciting. I played the entire summer season, and those who play Stardew Valley would know what I mean by that, on the plane there, and it's only an hour and a half flight, and I just went to town on it. In fact, I think it gave me a headache when I landed, because I played it the whole time, but anyway, it's really cool. Y'all should check it out. It's good. Okay. That's it for that. Hey, real quick here, I got an email. No, I don't. Where did it go? It went somewhere. Hold on. I do have an email, but it isn't where I left it. Let me go see what happened to it. Okay, so there you go, Scott. You know, you leave for a week, and all hell breaks loose, and before you know it, okay, here we go. So we got Current Geek. Okay.
What's going on?
I found it. Here it is. Not that one. We're not doing that one. Okay, here you go, Tom. You want a Current Geek email? You ready? Here it comes.
I guess so.
All right. Am I making this too exciting? Here it is. A suggestion for an autopilot edition of the show. This is from TVaholic. Okay? He says this. Faulty Towers in the UK, along with the US versions of Amanda in 1983, starring Bea Arthur and Payne, 1999, starring John Larroquette. And if you can get your hands on it, there was a 1978 pilot called Chateau Snavely, starring Harvey Korman and Betty White, that never made it into a series. Those are his recommendations. I would actually say Faulty Towers would be a fantastic choice. The rest of these maybe too. I've never heard of them, but I'd do Faulty Towers for autopilot, wouldn't you?
Is Chateau Snavely just Faulty Towers with Betty Davis?
I don't know. Chateau Snavely it is.
Snavely.
Snavely. Let's see.
Snavely Whiplash.
Let me look at this real quick.
But yeah, I will add Faulty Towers to the list for sure.
Oh, here it is. Lost pilot of Faulty Towers remake, 1978. It looks like it was
Faulty Towers remake. Okay.
Okay. So what could be fun there?
Betty White, right?
Yeah, Betty White's in it. We could do
We could do
the pilot of one of the greatest sitcoms ever, Fawlty Towers. Maybe the best. I love that show so much. I watch it every year. And then we could do the pilot of this weird Snavely thing and compare them, because that was supposed to be like the Americanized version of Fawlty Towers.
See how Chateau Snavely.
Yeah. I'll bet Harvey Korman played like the Basil Fawlty dude type.
Basil Snavely.
Yeah. Henry Snavely is his name in this.
Henry, yeah.
Cynical hotel owner that is the pilot faced with the threat of hotel inspectors. Yeah, this is totally... This is a totally ripoff of that. Betty White, Harvey Korman, Petro and Connie. Oh my gosh, I need to see this. All right, we're writing your recommendation down, dude. I think we may want to do that one if it were me. And Tom is also me, so he'll probably want to do it too.
I'm definitely you in this case.
Okay,
yes.
Thank you very much. Let's see. That's it for today's show. Oh my gosh. Next week. Legal Geek, by the way, sick. He's getting over a crappy cold, but, he wanted everyone to be reminded that, the polls are still open when you hear this live. So go vote if you have not. I agree with Legal Geek.
If the polls aren't open, don't try to vote.
No, but if they aren't open by some error, then see if you can find out why. 'Cause you have the right to vote. Nobody should shut anything down.
If you're registered and a citizen of the United States, you have the right to vote.
Yes. If you are...
I love in California, we have a day of registration.
Oh, that's cool. I mean, we do
too. You
can just
walk up and register.
Yeah, we do as well. In fact, they had a whole separate table for that where I went tonight. And they nobody was there doing that. Mm-hmm. But they have it there. So Utah is one of the 15, I think it is, states total that has same day registration or at polling place registration if you need it. So your vote counts. Get out there and do it. Next week, we're doing the Kurt Geek Film Fest. It continues with North by Northwest.
I think this, it's hard to say whether it's this or Wizard of Oz are the movie. Of the movies we've watched so far that I've seen the most. I've seen this multiple times.
I have seen this precisely zero times.
Oh, man.
Yep. Never seen North by Northwest. So this will be another one of those where Tom's seen it a bunch of times and I haven't. And we can talk about whether it's still cool or not.
So in a way, we can say it's no Schindler's List.
You're right. It is no Schindler's List on a number of levels.
Because I'm saying that because I had never seen it and Scott had.
There you go. Very well said. Before we get out of here, Tom Merritt, anything you want to suggest to the fine folks before we go?
I do. I want to suggest that you go to TomMerrittBooks.com, you click on the link to the Audible version of Gallium, and you buy it.
Wow.
Because it's read by Veronica Belmont.
Whoa.
And it's in the store now. You can find it by going to Audible.com and searching Gallium. You could go to Audible.com and search Veronica Belmont, or you could search Tom Merritt. It is a book about a woman named Maya who discovers something ancient, historical, valuable, and controversial, and the movements to try to stop her from revealing her find and making a living. So if you think that sounds like a cool space adventure story, mystery kind of thing, go check it out, audible.com, search for Gallium, or just go to TomMerrittBooks.com. And in fact, the first person in the Twitch chat during the live broadcast that says, "Give it to me," I will give a free Audible code for the book too.
Whoa! All right, you heard him, guys. Whoever's fastest on the trick there, just type "give it to me," and you could be the winner of today's free audiobook code. Let's see, it should be right now because that's about how long the delay is. Ready, set, but
TVZ gone.
TVZ gone. Well done, sir. You have won your own fresh copy of the audiobook read by the lovely and talented Veronica Belmont. That's going to do it for the rest of us, folks. That's the show for you. We hope you've had a good one. If you want to go and get more, go to currentgeek.com. Support us at patreon.com/currentgeek. And as always, we're on Twitter. I'm at Scott Johnson. Tom's at Ace Detect. And the show is at Current Geek. It's going to do it for us, for me, for Tom, for all of you. We'll see you next time. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.